time is 8:07. It is Monday morning, August the 5th of 2024. And this is the Monday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. You can also join us on our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com. Go to the Bull Falls Radio page, and then you're able to see a video stream, at least partially a video stream, as we are trying to still find out what some of the issues are, but hopefully the sound is back. We got one of our cameras working again, so hopefully we will be able to get everything back to 100% where we can see Ian's face pretty soon, but nevertheless, you can join us on the video stream, facebook.com, and the Bull Falls Radio page, and then you can add your comments and questions there and join us that way. You can also join us by calling or texting at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. Again, you can call or text at that very number, and you can also do it the easy way. Just pull up your Civic Media app, and then on the Bull Falls Radio page, you have a button that you can call us or text us. Just hit it. Be able then to call or text and let your message be heard as well. Currently, bit of a change weather-wise after a very warm and humid last week. The temperature is expected to be much cooler today. Right now, some overcast skies, temperature of 65 degrees. In fact, our temperatures will be maybe getting to 70. We'll have to wait and see. We'll get the details on the weather and a bit of a cooler start here on this Monday when we are joined by our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. She'll be back with us after not being with us last week. Great to have her back coming up at 8:20 this morning. Also coming up later on here in hour number one of the program, we'll be stepping outside the bubble. I'll be talking to conservative and Christian conservative Oliver Burroughs coming up at 8:34. And one of the questions I'm going to ask him is, am I being unfair to Chris Conley for me calling him out on writing on religion when it feels as though he has some issues of his own that maybe he should be worried about? But we had that big Friday morning where I found out Chris was talking about me. So let's find out if I'm being unfair, because I think they think maybe I'm being a little unfair. At this point, I don't think I am, but we'll find out. We'll be outside the bubble with Oliver Burroughs coming up at 8:34. So, again, our first Monday of the month of August, getting into the dog days of summer. And for the first time in a week, don't have to go out to the Marathon Park in the Wisconsin Valley Fair as we finished things up yesterday. In fact, when I say we, sitting across the way, the other side of the glass, is our in-studio engineer and producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Yep, we got through it. We were there every day of the fair, 6 days of the fair. I was out there actually last Monday as well, getting set up. Yeah. So today, I have to say, I am looking forward not to going out to the Marathon Park, not having to sit in the exhibition building where it just felt like
very sweaty.
Very sweaty. Very warm, very humid. But that said, it was, I thought, another really nice fair. The food was very good. Had a chance to talk to a few folks that popped on by our table. There was a lot of other folks with the booth set up around the exhibition building as well. It did seem as though a lot of folks were out at the fair at least one of the days. maybe not all six of the days like we were. But again, for those folks that did stop by, for those folks that were able to get one of our Bull Falls Radio t-shirts, for those folks that did sit down and speak to us in our truth booth, and just those that popped on by to say hello and to say that they were listening, even those who stopped on by and said, well, who are you? What station are you? I'm glad we were able to explain that, because there is a lot of folks out there that may not just be familiar with us. I mean, sometimes we're in, as I say, our little bubble here. We think everybody knows about Bull Falls Radio, and that's not the case. So, again, for those folks that said, hey, give you a tune in, give you a listen, hopefully maybe you're out there right now tuned in, and thank you for stopping by. by learning more about Bull Falls Radio and having a nice conversation. And I appreciate you being out there each and every day, mostly from 1 to 4 p.m., joining us out there, kind of giving me a little break most of those days before I came back and finished things off with Jorge. But right. I guess what was your take on what you saw over the last 6 days at the Wisconsin Valley Fair?
Well, just from walking around the fair, I'd say that people were having a lot of fun. The rides were definitely busy. All the food vendors were doing good business. The games were definitely packed with people. I'm not sure how many winners there were, but you know, just sitting in our booth and walking around the fair, I saw people carrying around some big prizes. So I guess some people were doing better than others. I mean, some people had like these big a jumbo of stuffed animals, so I guess they were doing very well. But
yeah, that's what I noticed. The kid had this stuffed animal that was perhaps bigger than he was.
It was huge.
And that was actually fun to see. It was interesting because we were right next to the Republican Party booth for the majority of the time, and then another independent group came, but that was from the right-hand side, was there on, I think it was Friday or Saturday. It all runs together at times.
It was only on the Friday.
It may have been on Friday. You're right. But they had folks stopping on by. Somebody snuck a Team Trump sticker on our table, which I caught and got it off, I hope, quickly. I'm not sure how long it was sitting there. But no, everybody had a chance to be there and a chance to just enjoy the fair. And again, I have to admit that it was a long week. It was a long week, and
it was
nice to not have to go out there and do it and get back into maybe a normal schedule and be able to catch a little more of the Olympics. In fact, last night when I got home, I watched the Olympics. It was the last day of swimming. I've been watching all the swimming, and what I do is I've not been watching any of the coverage that's been on NBC or the cable networks. I have Peacock, so I just watch what I want to watch. So I've been watching. They basically have a replay of the swimming events and all the events, basically all. So they don't pull away, and they have them all straight through, and you can watch all the events and be able to see what you're interested in. So I watched that. I actually watched Saturday's track and field because I was already behind. I want to try to catch up on the track and field. And then
I watched the track and field too.
So no spoilers on yesterday. I know there was some interesting stuff going yesterday.
Oh yes.
But then also I watched archery last night. I was going through the sports. I said, hey, I'm gonna watch
that
this.
One I haven't seen.
Yeah, it was men's singles archery, and it was the quarterfinals, the semifinals, and then the bronze medal match and the gold medal match. And it goes very quickly. Basically, the entirety of all that was a little more than 2 hours. But okay. I was so glad to watch it because I think it was probably one of the best gold medal matches in any sport that I've ever seen. I mean, it was and in archery, and I don't think a lot of people, well, I mean, some people probably are very aware of it. What they do is they have five sets a match, one-on-one, and you get three arrows in each set.
Okay.
And so the bullseye is 10 points, and then it goes 9 points, 8 points, basically the further you go out. And you have to win three out of the five sets in order to win. If a set ends in a tie, and there's 2 points in every set. If you win the set, you get 2 points. If there's a tie, you get 1 point. Each player gets 1 point. So basically, whoever gets to 6 points will win. And if by chance, after five sets, it is tied, then you have a one-arrow playoff.
Ooh.
And it's very interesting. But in the gold medal match, and there's this American who is involved in it, and he was the number 7 seed in the quarterfinals. So he was an underdog in all of his matches. And in the first match, he faced the number 2 seed, who I think was the defending champion in archery at the Olympics. And the American came out just red hot. I mean, he swept him 3-0. And he was just, I mean, he just rolled. He was right into the zone. So he got through that round. Then he got to the semifinals, and he was able to win there as well. And so they got to the championship round, and he faced the number 1 seed from Korea. And it was nip and tuck. The American won the first set. The Korean won the second. The American won the third. The Korean won the fourth. So they're tied up going to the fifth set. And in that fifth set, the Korean started with a bullseye, 10 points. The American came back with a bullseye for 10 points. The Korean came back with a bullseye for 10 points.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the American, still the pressure on, another bullseye for 10 points. So now you're to the third arrow, the final arrow of the set. The Korean steps up, another bullseye, 10 points. So now all the pressure's on. In order to send it to a one-arrow playoff, the American has to get a bullseye. And he, bang, right there again. And the thing was, during the whole time of the quarterfinals and the semifinals and the bronze and the gold medal matches, there had been no sets where both players got three bullseyes. It was 30 to 30. And this was in the fifth and final set of the gold medal match, and they both stepped up, and they got bullseye, bullseye, bullseye. So it's 30 to 30, so they go Then they go to a one-arrow playoff. And the thing is, it's not where if it's a bullseye, bullseye, you keep going. It's one arrow, and then they have they say whoever's the closest to the center. So they actually so not only do you have to get a bullseye, you have to try to get it the ultimate bullseye if you can. And first up, the Korean, and it was like 55 millimeters away from the center. So that was the target. So the American stepped up, and it was 61 millimeters. So he was a heartbreaker loss. But both those gentlemen stepped up huge. I mean, it was such a high quality. It was amazing to watch. So if you have Peacock, go back to their Olympic coverage. You can search by sport. Go to the archery and watch that because it was so good. I mean, you talk about coolness. I mean, just cool under pressure. Both those guys were just amazing to go 30 to 30 in the fifth and final set with a gold medal on the line was just amazing stuff. Also amazing is the good news we have. Brittany will be back coming up in just over a minute. We'll talk about the weather, talk about what she's been up to for the last week coming up next here on WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And yes, we are back on the stream by going to facebook.com, go to Bull Falls Radio, and then you can see our stream, be able to add your questions and comments as well. And also, again, don't forget, you can call and text us at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297 to join us on the program. But first, boy, it's nice to see her again. It's been a long week without her, but she is back, our meteorologist, also our news person, and everything else that we need here at Bull Falls Radio. It's great to see you again, Brittany Merlone. Brittany, good to see you.
Good morning. Oh, it's great to be back. I've got my voice back. I felt like the Little Mermaid, where my voice was just taken from me.
That's what happens when you camp out, right? Because you spent that entire week at EAA in Oshkosh. You would be, as you said, when you were with us, it would be cold overnights and obviously sort of an outdoor. It was in a tent, correct? Was that correct?
Yeah. So it was not a total tent on the ground, but right. It was one of those pop-up campers where, yes, it's a tent and no power. So there was no heat I can turn on or AC when I needed it. So the long week outside definitely beat me up. And then being, of course, in the peach tree of all of those people across the world, something definitely got me. So I needed that week of rest. Big time.
But no.
Hit me hard.
But I do got to say, we were disappointed because you were under the weather. You weren't able to come here and join us at the Wisconsin Valley Fair. We were there the last 6 days. I have to admit, I am so glad not to have to go out there today. It was a long week.
Hot.
It was hot. Yeah. It was very hot. Ooh. And you know, you were there last year inside the exhibition building. It just got, it was like the very old days before central air. It was just where you have a little fan, you blow a little warm air around, but that's about it. It was great to see the folks out there, but I got to say, I will not miss just sitting there and sweating for hours every single day. And the thing about it, the ironic aspect of it, after going through that week where the temperatures were in the upper 80s for the most part and humid, today, all of a sudden, the day after we don't go out there, we'll be lucky to hit 70, right?
Yeah, it's just like poof, temperatures just dropped, those clouds moved in. It's kind of a dreary looking day out there, darker with the overcast skies. It's not too common usually in summer. We usually get the cells that move through pretty quickly, but this is a slow moving system and it's moving so slow because of actually the hurricane that just made landfall in Florida. Because that is pushing up to the north and making landfall, it's making our system slow down. So what that means is cloudy today, much cooler, like you said, highs barely reaching 70. I think we may stay in the upper 60s potentially for highs. And the mugginess, still lingering. It's worse the further south you go in the state, but it's still kind of humid out there. And of course, rain expected, heavy rain. In fact, we're in a flood watch that goes into effect this afternoon and lingers through tomorrow morning because we're looking at another 1 to 2 inches of rainfall.
What
pretty
is going,
likely I mean, heavy hit.
I mean, the thing about it again, I mean, we've seen that so very often, even last week when the storms came through, again, just deluges, big amounts of rain. I wanted, and I actually was talking to somebody down at the park during the week last year. At this time, we were going through some, you know, very dry conditions. And then even during the winter, we were not getting as much snow in our area as we normally see. I don't know if there's anything that you know of, but is this going to carry over? Are we going to get a lot of snow this winter? Is this a pattern that you see? Again, I don't know anything about your magic with meteorology, because, I mean, it's been such a different summer this year than it was last year. And I think about last winter, are we going to have those snow plows ready to go this winter? Or is it something we don't know yet?
Sure. You know, we really don't truly know yet, but I will say that my gut feeling and what I'm seeing with the trends and all the oscillations, El Nino, La Nina, this, that, and the other, I do think that we're going to have a decent winter. I don't think we're going to get slammed with record amounts of snowfall or anything, but I do think we're going to be able to open up those snowmobile trails this winter because of a few things. One, like you said, the jet stream just keeps hitting us. We are seeing that active weather pattern here throughout Wisconsin. That's a good thing. If it stays right there, that means it's going to turn to snow when those temperatures drop. But the other thing, the more leading factor, is the fact that we're going from El Nino to La Nina. We've been in a transitional period this spring and summer, and it's flipping to La Nina. And La Nina usually does give us some colder winters and some more active patterns as well. Plus, you put the fact that our temperatures are just overall warming and warming and warming. You put warmer temperatures on your winter, you're going to get some heavier, wetter snow and more snow accumulation on top of that, too. So I'm a snow lover. I'm all for it. I'd rather have an actual winter here in Wisconsin than what we went through last year, because that hurt our economy. That hurt our tourism. Mm-hmm. That hurt the Northwoods. Too much. So
number one, for folks out there, I do apologize for bringing up winter here in the first week of full week of August.
It's free AC for the brain.
There you go. All right, Brittany, let's get the details here early in the week, because as I said, last week was such a hot and humid one, and we're starting things off differently as we get here today and maybe the early part of the week. What can we expect?
Yeah, so we've got this dropping front that's going to slowly move on through with this low pressure today. So cloudy skies, highs at about 69. Rain starting this afternoon, but I don't think it's going to be too heavy until about 10 p.m. Probably 10 to 2 a.m. will be our biggest downpours, flood potential out there as some of these storms roll through. Now, we're not looking at severe here, but down further in the state, in case you're traveling, down by the state line, they are looking at the potential for severe this evening. After this, though, the system clears on out of here. We sit in the upper 70s for the rest of the week, and a lot of it looks bright, beautiful, and sunny. I'm really looking at chances of rain maybe Thursday morning, and that's about it. Even in the weekend, we're looking at mid 70s. Mm. Very comfortable, mostly sunny, and no humidity either. That's taking its way south along with this front too. So bye-bye.
Very good. Very good. So it looks like we'll have plenty of opportunity to enjoy some very nice weather once we get through this rain coming up here today. But Brittany, great to have you back. Really, we missed you last week, and lovely to have you back and hearing about the weather and so much more. But enjoy the rest of your Monday, and we'll catch you again tomorrow morning.
Sounds good. Have a good day, everyone.
Bye, Brittany.
Bye-bye.
That is our Brittany Merlot. Right now in Wausau, here at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street, overcast skies and 65 degrees. The winds are out of the northeast at 6 miles per hour. The dew point, 50. So that humidity finally has gone way down. It's down to 59%. The barometer, 30.08 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. The time is 8:28. Coming up, we have an information update. We'll get you the latest news from around the country and around the world from CBS. We'll hear from Terry Bell with our news from our civic media headquarters in Madison, statewide news. Brittany will have the local news and weather, and Mike Clemens will have an update on sports. So that's all coming up, and that will be followed by Outside the Bubble. We'll step outside the bubble, talk to a conservative, Oliver Burroughs. I'm going to ask Oliver, have I been unfair to Chris Connolly? We'll find out coming up here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. At home show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. I guess the conservatives are just mad at me. They're not calling in for me.
No, I wouldn't say that.
You know, we're expecting to hear from Oliver Burroughs to go outside the bubble here at any moment. They have not had him call in yet, so we're going to wait and hopefully have him join us in a few moments to get perspectives away from our bubble. And of course, we are coming up on the primary election. We're just 8 days away from that next Tuesday. Make sure you're prepared for the primary election. And this week, we are going to make sure to get you ready for the primary election. Tomorrow, we'll be talking to state assembly candidate on the Democratic side, Bill Swatala. He'll be waiting to see whether or not it is Corey Sillars or Brent Jacobson that wins the Republican primary in that assembly district to face off in the general election. So Bill Swatala, Democratic candidate for assembly, will be with us tomorrow morning at 8:34. Coming up as well later in the week, we'll be talking to a 7th District congressional candidate, Elsa Duranzo. She is going up in a primary as well, coming up a week from tomorrow, as she hopes to be the Democratic nominee to take on Tom Tiffany. And so again, Elsa Duranzo will be with us coming up on Thursday morning. And again, we will be bringing you candidates in the run-up to the primary. We'll also be talking to plenty of folks as we get then past that towards November. And also, don't forget, coming up on that primary ballot, two very important questions when it comes to the state of Wisconsin, a couple of amendments to the state constitution. Basically, it is Republicans wanting to give members of the state legislature veto power on spending money that is emergency funding given from the federal government. We saw that quite a bit during the aftermath of COVID, where the federal government gave money to the states to use in terms of fighting the COVID pandemic. And Governor Tony Evers would receive the money and then very quickly get it out to get it out to the people that need it the most. But Republicans, as we've seen both now in the state where state budget, where they have been basically holding back money that has been allocated. We have seen that a number of times in the last couple of years, where for whatever reason, whether it's PFAS and other areas, well, they want to have these certain pieces of language put into the legislation or have certain rules either put in or taken out. And it means that money that's already been allocated just sits there instead of being used to help here in the state of Wisconsin. It's not enough for them to do it with money that has been allocated from the state budget. Now they want to be able to do that with money that is allocated from the federal government. And often we have seen the state legislature, the Republicans on the state legislature, hold back on spending money that's been allocated. So now they want you to vote next Tuesday and be able to say, okay, Republicans, you can do that with federal funding as well. So we'll talk more about that coming up. But first, I know the phone has rung, and I believe it is Oliver Burrows. Is that true? Is this Oliver?
Good morning, Chad, and I apologize for my tardiness. I cannot bring a note from the principal.
Okay. No, it's no problem. We're just glad to have you here as we go back outside the bubble here this morning.
Oh, my goodness. Do we have things to talk about internationally? That's part of what I was up late last night looking at with some worldwide very volatile stock information. South Korean stock market shut down there yesterday morning because of too many sell orders, all because of the jobs report last Friday, Chad, and it's having a worldwide ripple.
So which is, frankly, a little ridiculous, but we'll get to that.
Yes,
because, I mean, the idea of a job report in the United States of America, when we've had month after month after month where job reports have actually outpaced expectations, and that didn't lead to any massive earthquakes around the globe, and now we get an earthquake around the globe based on one job report. Again, it's just odd.
But it ties in with what you were talking about with that that constitutional question on the ballot next week. And I caught that as I was calling in. Chad, we've gotten to the point right now where everything about our budget process, and I have said this for years, and Republicans, listen up and listen well. Everything about the idea of a balanced budget, everything about the idea of a, quote, surplus, unquote, is illusory at best. And so when we start talking about, and I'm glad you are talking about it, because economic issues, you and I both remember Bill Clinton, don't you?
I've heard of him.
Yeah, the economy, stupid. Well, guess what? If we continue doing what we're doing, and we said we'd revisit on this point, again, I apologize for tardiness, but here's the thing that really becomes important for people to understand. One of the biggest drivers of economic activity is what we call consumer expectations. If we expect things are going to go well, our economic behavior matches that. If we think they're going badly, our behavior matches that. Well, the same thing is occurring with this amendment. And have you ever noticed how the amendments are written by lawyers for lawyers?
No kidding.
We have to have people interpret what the lawyers mean.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever noticed how much of our legislation is written with words like reasonable in it, where the legislators, whether it's the Assembly and Senate at our state level or the House and the Senate at the federal level, punt it to the courts to interpret what they meant.
Well, what I will say here is, based on these questions and other questions we've seen recently, we've seen in the state of Wisconsin, well above the average number of constitutional questions come to the people. When you look around in the Midwest, look at states around us, basically the state of Wisconsin have had more of these constitutional questions come to the ballot for voters to make amendments than all the states around us combined in the last half a dozen years or so. But what it says to me is, when you basically try to muck up the thought process of the voters with all this terminology that tries to say up is down, left is right, right is left, it says they don't really trust the voters, and they basically don't trust that what they're asking them to do, that they're going to be able to do, unless they can have a little bit of sleight of hand.
I'm not sure I'd use the phrase sleight of hand, but I'm going to come up with what I'll call a concurring opinion. I'll agree, but for different reasons. Chad, when you don't want, withdraw the word you, when one does not want to make a decision that will be unpopular, one can always find a way in politics, not governing, in politics, to kick it to somebody else. Then you can blame somebody else, whether it's the justices at any level of the courts, or whether it's saying, well, this is what the people want. We who argue that we are a constitutional republic and not a democracy, and yet you will continually hear people on both sides of the aisle use the word democracy. That means, okay, you people decide, and it's not our fault. People decided, it's not our fault. So don't blame us, it's not our fault. Somewhere along the line, true leaders, Chad, and I'm not finding fault with Democrats on this or Republicans on this. I am simply saying, if you're placed in office to make a decision, make that decision, stand by that decision, and either you stay in office when elections come because of your decisions, or people say, we don't want those decisions, you're out. That's how a constitutional republic works.
What are your thoughts on these two questions? Because I have an issue with changing the Constitution because of petty partisan differences. And that's frankly what I look at this. If Scott Walker was still the governor of the state of Wisconsin, the Republicans would not be fighting for these two questions. Would you agree with that?
I think if it was a Republican governor right now, I don't know that these questions would have come up, and certainly not in this way. But what happens is, when you want a constitutional amendment, when one wants a constitutional amendment, it's because you don't trust the representation that you're putting in place to do things in the right way. It's almost like, let's take away your right to do things. When I was a kid growing up, one of the beefs I had with my parents, 30 seconds, they tell me I could make a decision. When I made the decision they didn't like, they said, no, you're not doing that. To which I said, well, then why bother to ask me to make the decision? Not attacking my parents. I'm sure every teenager goes through it. But that's what we're doing. We're saying we're going to tie your hands.
Well, I would disagree slightly what you're
okay,
saying
what
here
saying?
Because the reason they're doing this is to make an end run around the governor, because they know that they cannot get this through right now with a Democratic governor. He'll veto it. So instead, they went twice. They passed it twice in order to put it on the ballot. So if the governor's not going to sign it, they decided, okay, we're going to go around the governor, and we're going to go straight to the people here. So, again, it's not. I don't think this is a case of them trying not to make a decision here. This is a case of them wanting this badly to be able to have the opportunity to, maybe I'm incorrect on this, but basically try to hold up spending of, again, money that has been, that I guess theoretically be allocated to the states. We've seen it in the budget. We're about halfway now between budget cycles here in the state of Wisconsin, and we're still fighting about money that was allocated the last time. So Yeah, we still have a Republican majority in the state legislature that is sitting on a budget surplus. And now they want to be able to sit on money that's coming in from the federal government. Is that unfair of me to say?
It is not unfair. It's a battle of who controls the purse strings. You see this both at the federal level and the state level, and the problem becomes that this is a battle of wills on who will decide that this money is going to be spent. What I'm going to, and when I gave my concurring opinion, is, Chad, when we have a huge debt in our highway trust fund and other debts that maybe we're paying the interest on, we're still in no position that we should be calling it a surplus. We should be paying down our debt.
Well, I would say that both Republicans and Democrats in terminology are saying that. It's just that Republicans want to give that money back as tax cuts to the wealthy, and Democrats want to use it in different ways. But I think that you kind of stand outside both those groups when it comes to looking at the bottom line in terms of the budget in the state of Wisconsin. But we got to take a one-minute timeout, and then we'll come back, continue outside the bubble with Oliver Burrows. Back in 1 minute. The time is 8:49. Overcast sky, 65 degrees in Wausau. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Oliver, before we go to another topic, I wanted to give you an opportunity to kind of respond to me that would, in terms of what I said, going right into the timeout. Basically, would you agree that Republicans are also using that, as you would say, probably false surplus that terminology wise, both Democrats and Republicans are looking at that as a surplus, and that you do stand a little bit outside that kind of thinking? Would that be correct to say?
Absolutely, Chad. Look, if we want to talk about history, and I'm not going to turn into a history lecture, but for 30 seconds, every nation in the world that has had a period of power ended with social/moral/economic decline. And I'll just use the Roman Empire in 15 seconds. They began to debase their currency, reducing the precious metals in it because of inflation, because they kept giving the people bread and circuses. Gross oversimplification, but there's a point to be made there. If you owe, you're in need to pay down your debt. That's what's hurting the American people right now. Even if the Fed cuts the interest rates, so what? You still owe. Until you don't owe anybody, don't start giving people back money.
Let me turn to an always controversial subject matter, which is religion. And I know that I have got a few folks on the right who are a little bit miffed with me because I've been calling out WSAU's Chris Conley for being a guy that writes and talks about religion on his radio program, and when I basically feel like there's a little bit of hypocrisy there. And in fact, 3 minutes ago, and I was just looking, you know, while we had a moment, a liberal talk show host named Tom Hartman. I'm sure you're familiar with Tom Hartman, right? Well, maybe not. He was on WXCO many years ago, but as a national syndicated show. But he put out an interesting posting on X. He had linked an article saying Republicans think they're exploiting religion to gain power. In fact, what's going on is the exact opposite. Religious fanatics are exploiting them to seize power. Will they succeed? Religion is
a major factor in American elections. I've been railing that folks who believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ are following a man that has nothing to do with the teachings of Jesus Christ. You have a radio host who tells us about religion and doesn't follow as well, and he's got a two-pronged response to me. Number one, more people listen to him, and number two, God forgives. Am I being unfair to Chris Conley? Am I being unfair to religious people in this country? Is Tom Hartman being unfair to religious people in this country, saying religious fanatics are exploiting Americans to seize power?
Okay.
A lot on that plate, I know.
Yes. Let's put it this way. You just sent me to the smorgasbord with paper plates.
You can take it any way you want.
All right. Let's go to Tom, first of all. If someone believes passionately in a position, whether it be Christian / religion, and they're two different things, religion talks about our way of working to God. In Christianity, it's a relationship. And I could go through that and we'd spend the rest of the time. I'm saying here, exploitation is a word that I would not agree with. But trying to bring into, and I've had this argument even with those who might call themselves Christian nationalists, Christian patriots. Do you really, if you want a nation based on Judeo-Christian values, which I do, do you not indoctrinate just as much as those on the other side indoctrinate? And I got into this discussion in social media a number of years ago with a local general manager of a Christian station who said, well, they're indoctrinating. I said, well, let's look at the word doctrine. Let's look at this verse from the Bible, from 2 Timothy, that all doctrine in the Bible, all doctrine in scripture is good for. So we've got to be careful that we don't say you on the left are indoctrinating, but we're just teaching. That's a problem that I have.
Right.
Let's call it as it is. Second of all, the difficulty is that faith in Jesus Christ does involve being forgiven, asking to be forgiven when you sin, break God's law. Some call it making a mistake, whatever it is. However, at the same time, with certain types of activities, certain types of sins, if you will, there are consequences.
And how about judging others and then not wanting to be judged yourself?
Well, you want to go there, Chad. Matthew 7:1 says, judge not, lest ye be judged. For by the same measure that ye judge others, using King James, so shall ye be judged. Or to remember that famous line from Bugs Bunny to Elmer Fudd, be very, very quiet, we are hunting rabbits. That's the problem. We're hunting rabbits. And we have to be careful, because if you look at the one parable, and there's a whole lot of explanation behind it, because they brought only the woman caught in adultery, not the man. Jesus said, let you who were without sin cast the first stone. We must be very careful of taking the role as Christians that God has given and not applying it equally. And we have all, according to Paul in his book of the letter to the Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So when we start saying one thing and our own conduct does not line up with it, no matter who we are, a radio host, a pastor, or a father, doesn't matter, we place ourselves in a position where we are running potentially against what Jesus said in the gospel accounts of the Bible.
I appreciate your thoughts on that and the other issues as well. Oliver, thanks again for coming on board. We'll talk again real soon. Enjoy
and
your Monday.
I won't be late again.
No, it's all good.
Late again, but I want Ian's come win money when I walk in.
Oliver Burroughs, Outside the Bubble. We'll be back with our number two next on WXCO.